From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start off this Wednesday about a week away from the return of the Jaguars to the practice field. 2017 training camp on the field begins a week from tomorrow. Can you believe it? Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Here's what's up today. We'll get the latest on the Dante Fowler Jr. situation, including the Jaguars' statement on the matter. Rookies report today to Everbank Field. They'll be a little later today on the practice field for the conditioning program to see if everybody's in shape going into their rookie season. And we'll get some camp storylines about a week away from training camp. JP Shadrick with you. Let's start off with the Dante Fowler Jr. story. Greg Allman of the Tampa Bay Times reporting about 11 o'clock today. He was the first to report that Dante was arrested last night in St. Petersburg about 9 p.m. for simple battery and mischief misdemeanor charges. He was out on $650 bond about 1 a.m. today. The Jaguars released a statement earlier today about the Dante Fowler Jr. situation. They were aware of the situation and are currently gathering more information. And the team has been in contact with Dante. No further comment will be made at this time. We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. Not the way we really would like to start off the week ahead of training camp storylines here, well, but it is a big one.
You hope to get to camp. I mean, coaches, when training camp breaks, they always tell their players, be smart. Don't embarrass the team. Right?
Don't be a statistic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You saw last week Dante Foreman, the running back from Texas, was arrested in Houston. I mean, you started to see these things pop up around the league, and you're like, please don't let it be a guy from Jacksonville. Don't let these stories come out. And yet, here we are, a week from training camp, and there it is.
Well, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, you look and you did the graphics, and the graphic is not supposed to be Dante Fowler. It's supposed to be, let's talk camp storylines. And that's what they're thinking back there. It's supposed to be about football right now. Yeah. I don't know, you know, it's not a felony, it's a misdemeanor. I'm not trying to discount it. I don't know that this is the worst thing in the world that's ever happened to a player in the offseason, but it's enough already. It's now the second or third off-field thing with Dante. And, you know,
which equals about as many sacks as he's had the field. And that's really the problem. The expectations, John, for him were that this was going to be a breakthrough year, that he was going to break the pattern of immaturity, that he was going to break the pattern.
Focus.
Right, exactly.
Doing the right things, all that stuff.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but we were going to talk a lot about him in training camp.
Well, we are now.
But before right. now, before field, this, sure. before right. that, we yeah. were going to talk about him and where this defense is on paper, but where it is if he comes to play, right? I mean, it looks very good on paper.
Sure.
If Dante Fowler comes to play, watch out.
If he's a number three overall type talent, frontline elite guy.
Crunch that up, throw it away.
But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean he can't be those things. Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's a horrible look 5 days before what is supposed to be a key turning point training camp in your career.
Now, what's the next step? Moving ahead here for the Jaguars, for Dante, do they move past this? Does the league take action?
Well, he'll be here next week when training camp opens. Yeah. So they'll do an investigation, and they'll decide if you know anything warrants any sort of sanction.
Yeah, there's a reason that you see the release you saw today. They just found out about it, I assume, this morning or last night, if they've been in contact with Dante. So they have to figure out what happened and what level – of discipline. I'm sure there'll be some discipline.
I mean, he's had a couple of these now, and the league's going to look and say, hey, it's kind of like with your son, right, where you let him get away, you let him get away, and all of a sudden you got to go, you know what, this time there's a line in the sand, you get a game. And we're probably likely to see something.
As my grandfather used to say, yank a knot in his chain.
Yeah.
I mean, at
some
point.
And maybe it helps him, and maybe it lights the fire, but I tell you, it's really disappointing for a player that this franchise put their support behind. Remember when Torres ACL, and they guaranteed it's $23 million?
Sure.
Right, I mean, you're putting it on the line there. We believe in you. We'll see you in 2016. They come back, 4 sacks. We believe in you. We're hoping for you. See you in 2017. Ooh, whoa. Hope you show up alone and not with trouble.
Yeah, it's not too late in there. It's always stories of guys who have these things and they turn out to be fine. But it's if the adrenaline doesn't start flowing, if there's not something that wakes you up and says, I can't do this anymore, got to do this and walk a different way. At some point, he's got to walk a different way. And, you know, maybe he is in everything other than this, but this doesn't indicate it. And sometimes perception's reality.
Makes Wednesday, when veterans report, a little more interesting around here. Always is interesting, yeah. But adds a little wrinkle to it.
Brought on himself.
He's but again, stand there and answer. Yeah. It's like Brian said. This is, you know, I'm sure it's that way back in that room, back in those offices. This isn't supposed to be what is being talked about right now. I don't think it'll be a distraction in terms of what goes on in the field and training camp, all that stuff, but it's not what the topic is supposed to be today.
Topic today should have been rookies reporting for training camp. The rookie report date was today. They're going through medical testing, the last second fittings of guys who may not have been around, guys that were in school still have to come get fitted for helmets and such today. So all that's done today, the baseline medical exams and all that today, and then they're on the field for conditioning tests a little later this afternoon. So that means it's here. I mean, there are players now in the building. They'll keep adding in the building. I think quarterbacks come here on Friday,
right.
Veterans on Wednesday, and then they're on the field next Thursday. So it's here.
It's kind of a recent addition where you'd have the rookies come a week early and the quarterbacks show up a few days early. It's just in recent years that they've done
it. In recent years, and the whole idea, I mean, they can be on the field doing a certain number of things. But the idea right now is to you have a week with the rookies, then your quarterbacks come in. So the whole idea is that let's give the teams a chance to have everything in gear enough for when the veterans come in that you can start off going as close to full speed as possible. Because they've taken so much other stuff away that you can't do, but they've given them the time to get the rookies acclimated so they have a relatively fair chance of knowing where the bathrooms are by the time everything starts.
How many days, hours, minutes, seconds until the pads are on? That's when I'll be interested.
Yeah.
Get the pads on. You know, we sat on those or stood out on
could have figured that out before the show. You wouldn't have to ask.
I just figured he
had. It's Saturday. It's Saturday.
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. Well, and people Third watching, practice. They want to know. Right. Yeah. That's when yeah. my attention will really be sharpened because we talked about offensive linemen in very vague terms all spring and summer long. They weren't hitting, right? You want to see Calais Campbell. You want to see him working. Malik Jackson. You want to see these guys out there. Call us when they start hitting. That's when it happens Saturday. Let's go.
Guess who else feels that way? The tough guy down the hall who looks mean in all our ads, Doug Marrone. I mean, he made it clear during OTAs. We talked about it and laughed about it. The only thing that matters to him is once those pads go on, particularly with the offensive line, he was very specific about that's where the interior of the offensive line, those first 4 days of camp are big. But I think overall, you know, everything that happens the first day will dwarf anything that's happened already to Doug Marrone.
The different feel around here, is it you guys have been around here for the early days. Is it another Camp Coughlin? Is it that rigid of a – the schedule might be as rigid. The rules are against certain things. But do you have that feel now?
Well, there's no concentration line yet.
I've still got a sign from
drawn
the original concentration line, 95.
There's not a – there literally was a line at the end of the South Tunnel, which is right behind us, when the practice fields used to be where Daly's Place are. And it said across the top of the door concentration line, there was a line there. And
there was
that
a line in Stevens Point, too.
Yeah, there was. And that's Tom's message was, when you're out here, it's all football. Right? That was, by the way, before cell phones, before social media and all the distractions of today. His message was, you come out here and you stay on this team, which is where you want to be, making money, by being focused. In fact, Tom's first television show was not the Tom Coughlin show. It was Beyond the Concentration Line with Tom Coughlin. Now, we're talking about Tom, and when you said tough guy down the hall, that's immediately who I went to. But when you're talking about it's Camp Marrone, obviously. But my guess is that these guys, they're so similar.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I don't want to give – you know, it's a little insulting to Doug to say that the tone of practice is going to be because of Tom Coughlin.
But Doug gave us that leeway because he talked in such glowing terms about Tom and how much he admired Tom.
But I think they're so similar anyway you know, take Tom Coughlin out of the equation.
Yep.
You know, say he's in Ponte Vedra ocean fishing, whatever you do in Ponte Vedra. You're the
No, I don't live in Ponte Vedra. No, I'm Atlantic Beach.
Yeah, you know, you're the money guy. But, you know, if you take him out of the equation.
That's why I work.
I think training camp looks very similar to what it would even if Tom wasn't here, because I think that's the way Doug's going to run things, but it certainly gives it the theme.
In tone, but let's be completely blunt. Training camp can never again be what it was in those days in 1995.
Oh, no. True.
I mean, two-a-day practices in the dead of the heat, meetings until 9 o'clock at night.
Well, the first one started in like April.
Oh, God, it was brutal.
I'm exaggerating, but it started July 7th.
So the thing that I will say that feels is the feel, the tone, the expectation. You know, we've seen some of the literature, the emails going back and forth about schedule, and to see some of the things that are written out, it's like, whoa, yeah, Tom is back, right? Some of the great detail and the expectations that are put into those messages for players. Here's what we do at this time, and here's how we do it. Here's why we do it. Here's what we're going to do after that. Great detail that really has not been around here since TC left.
Well, again,
that expectation feels exactly the same.
Yeah, sure.
That was something that from the first interim head coach press conference that he had in December, Doug's dialogue was along those lines anyway. So it is remarkable how in lockstep. I think what we're talking about here is it is hard to tell where one guy begins and one guy ends because they're so similar. And that's okay. Yeah. They're in lockstep.
Well, and that makes the transition. That makes the effort of two guys working together. I'll tell you this, and I've said this to you guys before, and maybe I've said it on the air. I knew that Doug Marrone was a lot like Tom Coughlin. On the Tuesday after they fired Gus and Doug was announced to be the head coach, and at 8 a.m. I'm watching players run. Not trot, not jog, full-fledged sprint from the cars to the door so they could be on time for the meeting. That didn't happen previously, and it will happen from now on. These guys will not be late.
Start on offense. A few themes. Well, it starts with number five. That's the biggest theme of this camp, of this season, really, for the Jaguars, especially on offense. Yeah, the run game is going to be improved, they say. The offensive line is this, but it all boils down to help number five. What is a situation where he would be considered to be playing well this season? What is your expectation for number five?
Well, before that, you know, I think no matter what we're talking about, you can be on time as much as you want. All the stuff we're talking about is great. If he doesn't play better, if he's not what they have hoped to build by building around him, then all the other stuff is sort of out the window.
You can't have the turnovers.
Yeah. What's a good season? Significantly fewer difference-making turnovers. I mean, he had 16 interceptions last year. I don't know what his number is because sometimes he had Hail Marys and all
that
stuff.
I'm using my calculator to figure it out while he talks. Well, not on social media.
Yeah. Get the other thing too, that you couldn't figure out.
No, go ahead. Keep talking.
How many days till we hit? You know, at some point, he has to reduce the interceptions.
That would be nine.
Get those. And
I figured that out. When JP told me, which is what I wanted
to
do.
Nine would be a nice interception total, too.
It would be, yes. And
that's lofty. But the point is, I think if he gets to 10 or 12 interceptions, 10 or 11, then that's the point where you're making few enough catastrophic errors that you can start talking about not giving away games. And that's the point the offense has to get to. They have to get to the point where they're not hurting more than helping.
Okay, he gave you the important numbers.
Yes.
Right. Here's mine.
Okay.
Complete 275 of 450 passes. That's a 61% completion rate.
61.
Career-wise.
You did that on your calculator there, didn't you?
I did do that.
Yeah, smartphone.
How many yards?
Absolutely. I'm not all that concerned with it because I get where you're going with five, and that, and from your perspective, that makes all the sense. To me, it's about 27 and Chris Ivory, Fournette and Ivory laying the table, the foundation for what Bortles is going to do. Yep. If this team runs the ball and that keeps the defense fresh and allows them to play well, Bortles can throw the ball fewer times. I'm just saying, give me 60 to 63% completion percentage. Don't throw the ball more than 450 times because last year 625 was a disaster, right, with all the turnovers.
I don't think they're going to get close to that.
I don't think so either, and I think that's Fournette and Ivory.
With the dedication to the run game, not just the backs, but the offensive line. They got.
Are we talking run next?
Yeah,
run next? Okay, we'll talk about run a little bit. To me,
I thought I was the only guy that talked
about
run.
I'm not a big stats guy in terms of you have to have X stat to win. But they have to run for more touchdowns this year than they allow opponents to run for touchdowns this year. The way this team thinks they're going to play, they haven't had a double-digit touchdown rushing season since before I got here, since 2011. I'm not the cause of that, but something
depends on who you talk to.
Right. Yeah. But that has to change. They have to be able to enforce their will. All teams don't have to do that, but the way this team wants to play, they have to have more rushing touchdowns somewhere in the area of 13, 14, 15 than they give up, or else this what they want to do. They won't be what they want to be unless that number is true.
When it's first and goal at the two at Wembley, they're scoring a rushing touchdown this time around.
All four downs.
That's the way that's going to go.
All four
downs. They tried
downs.
That once.
Keep running the ball.
They tried the all four downs thing once in Wembley.
Yeah. They'll get it done. That's right. The plan.
They didn't have a running back taking number four overall.
Not every team has to win that way. But the way this team wants to play, those numbers have to add up.
You know, it's easy to go back to 2007 when Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew combined for 149.6 rushing yards per game. I don't want to put a number on it per se, but you'll know if this team can run the football when they line up on third down and two and they run the ball.
It has to feel more like that.
Yeah. Run when you want to run.
Starts on that offensive line. What kind of shape is Albert going to be in? That'll be a question mark the first couple of days here. And what does the interior of this line look like? Who lines up where? Everybody had their own thoughts about that in the offseason, but we'll find out for sure starting on Thursday. So that's where it starts up front. Hey, coming up at Daly's Place concert, hey, tomorrow night, Styx and REO Speedwagon. Tickets available at dailysplace.com. Also, Journey and Asia.
Boy, they're going back to our territory, aren't they?
Wednesday the 26th.
Love me some Asia.
Heat of the moment.
And Lady Antebellum, Thursday, July 27th. Tickets for all the shows at dailysplace.com. Let's flip it over on defense now. Dante Fowler Jr. started off the show. So, let's talk pass rush. That's what this defense has lacked, a consistent pass rush. Have they found it? Do they have that now?
Well, not yet. I mean, and I will know going in. And I'm saying that because until they do it, we can talk off-season acquisitions, pass rush, all you want. But until they do it, Fowler and Ngakoue combined for 12 last year. I think that number, you know, has to get to around 20 for the edge rush to be what they want it to be. Now, you can create it different ways. And I'm thinking about 2014 when Sen had 8.5 sacks, whatever it was. They got good interior rush. They bothered people. They disrupted. But you didn't have that edge rush that just scared you. A scary edge rush, those guys have to combine for 20. To me, Brian, the big question here is, can Calais Campbell be disruptive? He's not going to be a 14-sack guy.
No. He never has been.
But can he be disruptive, knocking the ball down, fumble guy in key situations enough to help the rest penetrate, disrupt, bother? They didn't bother teams enough on third and passing situations last year. That was the problem.
But we saw Malik Jackson against Indianapolis at the end of the year just destroy it. Now, that's not a very good offensive line. At least it wasn't at the end of last year. But can Calais Campbell be disruptive enough just to free him up for some single coverage? That alone will improve the pass rush. To me, it all comes back to Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get him on the field, and can he be the explosive guy? I mean, he was the third overall pick for a reason. You watch him on the field, he has such breathtaking athleticism. If he ever gets this right, he's got this, right? Get this right, and go. But I'm
you know what you're doing right now? You're doing the same thing I did all offseason. You're overlooking Yannick Ngakoue. No,
I might be, but I think he's a nice player. I think he'd be a 10-sack guy, but he isn't going to threaten you off the edge like a Fowler.
Well, I think that is
because he's not the explosive athlete that Fowler is.
But
he's a guy who's going to manufacture sacks.
But you can manufacture 11 or 12. And to me, I'm making light of it. Oh, it's
that threat where you've got to adjust.
12 scares me a little bit. Of course, I'm easily scared.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
Let's see how he does this year. I think it's a big year for him for that reason. Because what you're saying is sort of the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, he certainly thinks he can be better than that. He had 8 as a rookie. So I'm curious to see, can he be the scary edge guy?
But let's not get caught up in numbers. You can be the 12-sack-a-year guy and go to the Pro Bowl every year. But that doesn't mean you're that dangerous, explosive player.
Right.
I look at Fowler, and let me rehash this.
Fowler has the ability to be elite.
Elite.
Absolutely elite, all pro.
I watched the Broncos game here from the sidelines, and I kept looking for Von Miller. Where is he? Where's 58? And didn't see him until the final Jaguars offensive drive with the game on the line. First down, second down, third down. Stop. He won the game.
Mm-hmm.
He closed the deal. Now, that's the player Fowler's supposed to be.
Those guys are rare, but number three overall
took him
to be
number
rare.
Three because they expected him to be that guy. And he still athletically can be that guy. You hope that he gets his head straight and shows up. I still look at it. I'm watching the video just like you guys. And I say, this defensive line with Campbell and with Avery and with Malik Jackson is really good. And Yannick Ngakoue, very, very good. With him playing like that, Man.
And that play we just saw there, by the way, where he runs the guy down, where he's always going to do that.
Yep.
And he did that last year. He was okay on that regard last year. It's can he develop pass rush enough to scare you and get a sack in 4 seconds on third?
Do you remember the one here on Christmas Eve against Tennessee where he started at the left end and looped back to the inside at the snap of the ball, and then just as the hole opened, he exploded through it for the sack. That's where you're like, oh, where's that been?
That's right. It's got to be more than not twice a season.
Yeah.
Next level of the defense, linebackers. Big storyline, Paul Posluszny moving to the strong side, Miles Jack to the middle. We'll find out if Paul's studies have paid off the first few days.
Yeah, I don't worry about him. I don't think he'll be as good this year as he wants to be. I think his standard's so high, but I think he'll be more than good enough to play well at the strong side position. To me, the question is, how does Miles Jack's transition go? Can he get the confidence of all of his teammates in that role that he has in terms of getting the defense lined up, et cetera, et cetera? I don't think he'll be able to match what Posluszny was able to do early on in that situation. And then the question is, how quickly can you get close to that level? And I don't think we'll know until the regular season on that.
You know, what's exciting is we talk about Fowler and his elite athleticism. Mm-hmm. That's this guy too, right? And Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they've got a potentially explosive athlete, elite athlete on all three levels of the defense.
Well, Miles Jack is supposed to be Luke Kuechly.
And been a long time.
He needs to start approaching that this year because it's his second year. He's on the field. Speed of the game shouldn't be an issue. But that's what he needs to be. He needs to be a difference maker.
Back into the defense, first time we'll see the safeties most likely. They didn't practice in the offseason program, at least in the public view that we had, or the media view that we had. So we'll see those guys for the first time in the next week or two. Is Jalen Ramsey ready to roll after surgery? My guess is going to be he'll be out there. And how does Boye and all these guys work together? We saw a glimpse of that in the offseason, but first time we'll see the full defensive backfield.
I think there's reason to be optimistic about Church and Boye and what they bring to the table with Ramsey. I said this in the spring, and I'll say it again. They gave a lot of money to Gibson. Hopefully, the addition of these players lets him play the style of play that made him a Pro Bowl player that season that he was in Cleveland. I think he's going to be the key, that free safety, the guy who can make plays in the deep third and can get to the sidelines. I like Boye. Ramsey, what's not to like? Church is a really solid player. I think it's going to be a very good unit.
Well, Gibson didn't – I mean, he made it clear in public last year. He didn't like having to play back all the time, 15 yards off the ball.
That's why they signed him, though.
Right, but Church is here so that he's – Gibson's not going to be just back all the time. It'll be a put-your-money-where-your-mouth-is type year for him. And the most – the easiest thing for me going into this season – is to say that Jalen Ramsey is going to play well. He's the one guy on this roster. I don't have any question he's going to be good. I don't have any question that he's going to be as productive as possible. Now, he may not have interceptions because he may throw away from him, but already in his second year, he is the guy that I trust to be at a high level, probably more than anybody else on this team. Now, my question is, with the secondary, I think it's better. Is the pass rush better enough so that you can see how much better the secondary is?
Yeah, and that's
and to me, it always stops.
That's a valid point because AJ Boye had Jadeveon Clowney and JJ Watt and Whitney Merciless. I mean, they had those players that were creating the opportunities to go and make plays. And right now, he doesn't have that pass rush in front of him, so it's going to be a bit different for him playing back there.
So there you have it. Hey, when do they hit for the first time?
Nine days. 9 days.
It's not written there, which is why I asked the host.
All right.
Figured he'd know that. He did.
Saturday, a week from Saturday. Third practice, and they'll be on the field next Thursday. The rookies are in now. Quarterbacks Friday, veterans next week. That'll do it for the first show of this new, we'll call this the new season of
Jaguars.com
Live.
We're ready. Let's go.
You're traveling this weekend? could you do us a favor?
That's right.
Be here on Monday. We need to rely on you.
I'll be here. I'll show up whether you like it or not.
We need you to report Monday. Right. John Osier, Brian Sexton, I'm JP Shadrick. For our entire crew, thank you for watching. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.